It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
And let's do that. Gentlemen, welcome back to the studio. It seems like we were here just yesterday together talking about wills and the duties of the executor. And then we took a deep dive into it, but we kind of just scratched the surface, so we have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, Mike, you know, we started the conversation regarding, obviously, the executor. This is someone who has an obligation to carry out the duties to administer an estate properly. This is someone's passed away, and then either the person being the executor is named in the will, and then in the event there's not a will, then the court would then make the determination through the clerk of court who serves in that role, and that's normally called the administrator, but they still have basically the same job to do. Kind of big picture with regard to that job is you start out the process by, you know, becoming qualified, by taking an oath indicating that you're going to carry out your duties consistent with the law and be honest and truthful and provide truthful information. You're going to file accurate inventory and then accounting with the court. You're going to handle the creditor's claims, if there are any, you know, correctly. And generally, you know, I'm being very broad now, but dispersing the assets consistent with the terms of the will, or if there's not a will, consistent with the laws of the state regarding intestacy. And that 1 minute description that I've just given gets messed up all the time by folks.
Sure it does. And it's a fiduciary responsibility.
Right.
There can be some heavy lifting involved. It could be very simple, but it can be complex as well.
Right. Fiduciary, big word, but basically what that means is that the executor administrator has a duty and obligation to treat everyone who has any interest in the particular estate fairly, and this would be beneficiaries, this would be creditors, this would be, you know, the executor can't do things to help him or herself alone. You have to act in a neutral way. Now, you can be a beneficiary under an estate and still be still serve in that fiduciary role, but there needs to be in every aspect of handling the administration of the estate, there needs to be transparency. There needs to be, you know, when you deal with these steps that you have to go through, you have to think about this as though everybody who's involved is going to see everything I've done. Okay. So that, you know, so that fiduciary duty is carried out for the benefit of everyone. And that's kind of where things, I think, kind of two areas where folks kind of get off track. Number one, in many cases, you know, we see situations where the executor administrator's out there doing it themselves, and they kind of err to their favor sometimes, you know, and we can't, you know, you can't do that. I mean, there's certain things that can be done to protect the estate, like raising certain statute of limitations with regard to claims, like obviously in the event we have a spouse, raising certain spousal rights. That is knowing the law and using the law, but just helping yourself, you know, is a no-no. The other area where things become a mess sometimes is sometimes there's confusion with regard to how things have to be handled. You know, there's a dozen different things I could go through where maybe there's a curveball thrown in an estate and folks don't handle it correctly because they just don't know, you know, how to handle it. You know, for example, a lot of people don't know that when someone passes away, the real estate that they have, let's say if they're an individual, they're not married, and the real estate passes to whomever, the kids. Well, that's really, that real estate immediately passes to the kids. It's not part of the estate except if it's needed for purposes of paying debts. I mean, and when I say debts, what I'm talking about are claims against the estate. Where some folks get confused if they don't have legal counsel, they don't know that a mortgage on that particular piece of property doesn't automatically get paid from the estate. That's not really considered an estate debt. Mortgages for example, as I'm talking about kind of one of these nuances, one of these wrinkles, mortgages pass with the property.
Yeah.
So the kids get the property. They just got to pick up the mortgage.
And with it comes the mortgage. Right.
It's not as though the estate automatically pays that off unless the will says that it does.
Right.
And most wills don't. Most wills have language in it for example, that state, you know, I pay, you know, pay my debts, pay my, you know, normal and customary, you know, claims, so on and so forth. That doesn't mean mortgages unless it specifically spells that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a confusing situation sometimes for folks. So how does that work though?
Yeah.
Well, it works as though the property goes to the kids and they've got a mortgage.
Yeah, exactly.
They got to pick it up.
Right.
They don't pay.
If they want it.
Right. Then we'll might have a little foreclosure coming in the event they don't.
Utility bills. Any rental income goes directly to the beneficiaries. So not only, you know, the expenses of the real estate, but any receipt of income.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes is absolutely correct. This is, you know, one of these areas. There's several that we've talked about, actually, Mike. We've talked about all the rights of the spouse.
Right.
Remember, we talked mm-hmm. about that and whether or not you're liable for the debt of your spouse and the year's support, the elective share, all of the rights of the spouse. That's a biggie. That's a Roman numeral one. Roman numeral two is real estate. Mm-hmm. How is it handled? And so many executors, innocently,
mm-hmm.
Can really get off, on the wrong start with regard to how they're handling the real estate. And the real estate, as Wes mentioned, passes by operation of law upon the moment of death to the beneficiaries. Now we have to know who the beneficiaries are, but we can discern that pretty quickly. Subject to administration of the estate, if their debts, if the property is brought into the estate to satisfy claims. But that's rare. But that can be done. But otherwise, the property passes on out to the heirs. And of course, the heirs then receive the income. The heirs are responsible for the expenses of the real property. They're responsible for any mortgage that might be on the real property. And you cannot use the funds of the estate to satisfy those kinds of debts. Those debts are immediately following the property and go directly to the beneficiaries. The estate, for instance, may be passing, you know, to someone else or in a different percentage,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It seems like that there's probably more things as an executor that you don't know than what you do know going into it. And I think it would behoove a lot of people to have legal counsel kind of as their shepherd guiding them through this process.
Well, I think that the answer to that, Mike, is that it's almost like everything that Wes and I and Andrew and Julia and Sam Morris, all lawyers at the office, do. You know, it doesn't hurt to check in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a known fact that most lawyers do not charge for an hour of initial consultation because we don't know the lay of the land either. We're going into the situation cold.
Yeah.
And so make an appointment, get yourself on a good lawyer's calendar, go in for an hour of consultation, and really, truly, I think that 99.9% of the lawyers are going to guide you competently and correctly in whether or not you really need counsel or not.
Because sometimes you don't.
Because sometimes
right.
you do not.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mentioned last week that we see a lot of folks initially, and then do not need to open up a formal file on that estate. They're going to be just fine. They can dot the I's. They can cross the T's. It depends on the facts and circumstances. We would be able to recognize whether or not they need counsel. And I might add, how much counsel do they need? It
yeah.
might just be that there is an issue with the real estate and that our engagement would be limited to just that. But I do suggest, which is what you're question was about, Mike, is that, you know, that if you are an administrator, an executor, or even a beneficiary, mm-hmm. and you have some initial questions, then don't wait and wait and wait. Go ahead and make an appointment with a lawyer and seek that hour's worth of advice, and you should be able to then get on the right track.
I guess too, I kind of cloak that question in the context of the executor or the administrator seeking legal counsel. But you just talked about something there, Cecil, about a beneficiary, an heir. Can they, knowing that the estate is being dissolved and, you know, through the passing of a loved one, can they seek legal counsel, over and above the executor and the administrator?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, we have that a lot. So, you know, in the event that you're a beneficiary under an estate and you have concerns about the estate being administered properly, I mean, you have a situation where you're concerned about, you know, how, you know, let's say a trust is being administered under the estate, or how the estate itself is being dealt with and the debts and the assets are being distributed out. And you feel as though there's not, like I said before, transparency.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on, you know. Then in many cases, it's advisable to then have an attorney represent your interest, because the attorney is going to know what steps can be taken to, first of all, gather the information to make sure that you're being taken care of.
Right.
And if you do that early on, in many cases, we can head off the problems, because sometimes what we end up with is, if we're representing a beneficiary and then we have concerns about an executor, once we get in touch with that executor, we can in many cases direct that executor to what he or she may be doing wrong,
mm-hmm.
or what our concern is, and get them back on the right track. Unless this executor is just, you know, very aggressive against the beneficiary,
yeah.
which happens sometimes.
Sure.
And in the event we end up in that, you know, maybe overly aggressive posture, which I have several files that I'm dealing with right now, relatively large estates, and we represent all kinds of estates, large, small, in the middle, medium estates. But I have several cases right now where I represent the beneficiary relative to the estate, because there's some problems that are going on with it, and there's an aggressive posture being taken, you know, by the executor. You have to be careful from an attorney standpoint regarding that, because just think about that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
The beneficiary is paying us to represent their interests.
Sure.
And then the beneficiary is a beneficiary,
yeah.
meaning that the estate assets, they're going to receive a portion of them. So, in effect, the estate is probably also paying a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what's being paid from those estate funds to that attorney over this adversarial issue is really coming out of my client's pocket as well.
Right.
So you have to be careful about that dynamic. Now, that doesn't sound quite fair, you know, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way it works. You know, in the event the estate, for example, is brought into a lawsuit of some sort, then it's appropriate for that estate to have legal counsel, to pay legal counsel from estate funds. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
So You got to really pick and choose your fights when you're in somewhat of that minority type position. And what I'm saying here is, if you are a beneficiary or legatee under an estate, you're not in control. You're not in the driver's seat,
mm-hmm.
but you have certain rights.
Kind of like second fiddle, but you're still on the stage.
That's right. But sometimes these things culminate into an action to attempt to remove the executor because their actions are inconsistent with the law. And I touched on that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we look at there is, in the event that the respective executor has breached a fiduciary duty, or if they have a private interest, if they have some type of reason that they can't be neutral, mm-hmm. as it relates to everyone, and maybe they've shown that to a certain extent, then if either one of those two things are found, then the clerk of court has authority and should remove the executor to put someone
else in
place so that that fiduciary duty can be carried out to everyone's benefit.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break here, gentlemen, at 6:46. And if you have questions, you can call us during the show at 252-247-7282. It's a very deep topic. If you miss this opportunity for free legal advice, you can still get some free legal advice by calling Harvell and Collins after the show at 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, and you can call the show and join the conversation by calling 252-247-7282 or call Harvell and Collins after the show, 252-726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We're making our way through this deep topic of the responsibilities of the executive.
Mike, I think it's important to say at this point that, just so our listeners hear it, the executor slash administrator, doesn't matter what the title is, but they can be held personally responsible for a breach of their fiduciary duty. Now, by and large, a fiduciary, an executor, you know, is just not personally responsible. They aren't responsible for the debts of the decedent. They aren't responsible for the tax obligations that might not have been paid. They aren't personally responsible for that mortgage that we just talked about. They aren't responsible personally to take their money, if you will, and invest it in the settlement of the decedent's estate. They are obligated to take the assets of the decedent and the debts of the decedent, whatever they might be, and apply the law. And sometimes that's going to flush, if you will, and sometimes it's just not going to settle and flush, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, never, however, are they personally responsible, with the exception of when it can be shown that they have breached their fiduciary duty and have caused damage to the estate, which, of course, would mean to the beneficiaries of the estate. And so it is important that we pause here a minute and say that, yes, the general rule is that the personal representative is not personally responsible, but there's an exception to that rule. And the exception to that rule is what we've been talking about, where there is a breach of fiduciary duty. And I think it's important that our listeners understand that. We do get this question a lot. Folks are very confused initially, and particularly spouses. Okay, I'm going to pay that debt. That was his car with his loan, but I'm going to pay that. Well, he had a big bill at Lowe's. You know, he loved to go out to Lowe's every Saturday morning. He has a big credit card at Lowe's. I'm going to take care of that. Well, let's discuss that. Okay, let's look at what the assets are and find out whether you as the spouse, you know, want to do that. Legally, you might not have to. Okay, so my point here is that the personal representative, the executor, is most times not going to involve themselves personally in an estate. On the other hand, if they breach a fiduciary duty, the color of that file can change very, very quickly. And so you have to be careful.
You have to be careful, and it gets to Wes's point about transparency and not muddying the waters. And that's one. There is for some a lot of temptation in being the executor or the administrator when you have someone's assets before you, whether it's a loved one or a third party. Just
money changes people.
Yeah,
greed gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
I hear things like, "Well, that's what Daddy wanted. That's what he said. So I'm going to make sure that happens." Doesn't matter. The document is all that matters. The will is all that matters. You have to follow what the will says as it relates to the assets. You can't equalize things out based on what you think your mother or father or whomever the deceased is, what you think they wanted because of things that they may have said to you. I see people get confused with that. and it really comes down to a certain level of greed and helping themselves out.
Yeah.
Most executors are not going to act in that way. Most of them are going to, you know, take the advice of legal counsel. They're going to follow the law. They're going to treat everyone fairly. And if you do, you know, a good job, you're entitled to a commission, as we talked about last week.
Up to 5%.
Up to 5%, which is not, again, 5% of everything.
Yeah.
Is 5% of the personal property. And then 5% of real property that has to be sold and brought back into the estate through what's called a special proceeding for purposes of paying the debt. And then, but not a mortgage, unless the will specifically says to pay mortgages. So, you know, most folks are going to want to do it by the book, follow the law. But, you know, these strange, you know, situations happen sometimes where people just get a little heavy handed.
Yep.
And they normally don't get heavy handed against their interest. It's always in their interest.
In their interest, and that's where
I mean, we know that without it being said, but you know, there's a level sometimes of
greed.
Greed,
and that's where the first drop of silt drops into that clear.
See, we have to keep in mind, Mike.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. Hold that thought, Cecil, and we'll close with your statement there. With Harvell and Collins, if you want to reach them after the show, call 252-726-9050 or go online to Harvell and Collins. We'll be back with our closing statement after this brief timeout. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And Cecil, I apologize. I didn't want to cut you off there, but you were making a statement on Wes Escalvey about 2 minutes.
I actually forgot my statement because you were telling me about
well, it was the temptation.
This great football
There's
kid.
Transparency and honesty, right?
Football kid, you know, out of Swansboro that just got signed. We can talk about that in the final minute, how exciting for him.
DeAndre Tompkins came out of Swansboro, went to Penn State.
And, that's great.
Hope he's got his financial plans all mapped out.
Oh, he will. Wes and I did not know that, so I enjoyed you telling us that during the break. But it did create an opportunity for me to forget what I was going to say, and it's just not actually coming back to me right now.
That's
but
okay.
Listen, the bottom line is that, you know, if you're an executor, seek out some advice early on, get with a good lawyer and kind of find the lay of the land. I think the lawyer will be fair and upfront. And if you don't need the legal advice, then you'll be told that. If on the other hand, there's a part of the file that needs some legal work, I think you'll be told that. And lastly, if the lawyer needs to kind of lead you through the entire thing from beginning to end, you'll probably be told that and why.
Yeah.
And then you'll be given a range of estimate and given what the terms of the engagement with the law firm would be, okay, because you certainly need to know that. You deserve to know that. And then off you go.
I bet in your three decades or so of practice, Cecil, there's very little that surprises you in this world of wills and executors and administrators. You've seen pretty much all,
you know, all the factual permutations. There's no question about that. Yep. And you're kind of like a doctor, you know, you see it coming at you, you know, just right after the quote examination of the facts.
But
you can tell what the diagnosis is. Yes.
And unlike a doctor, in most cases, you have a cure for it. So it always is a good ending for it. If you want to reach Harvell and Collins, call them now after the show, 252-726-9050, or go online to Harvell and Collins. We'll be right back.